The MGM Theater of the Air. Our star this week, Margaret O'Brien. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Vice President of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, noted writer of Broadway musical shows, including the smash hit Inside USA, Mr. Howard Dietz.
Thank you. The MGM Theater of the Air brings you a gay, youthful comedy entitled The Youngest Profession. This one-hour adaptation of an erstwhile Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture is one of a series of plays carefully selected from the many hits scored by that well-known studio. This week, our star is that phenomenally talented young lady, Miss Margaret O'Brien. Margaret is growing up gradually and gracefully and is improving, if possible, with the years. Let us then relax to a light-hearted story presenting Margaret O'Brien in person in the dramatization of The Youngest Profession. In just a moment, the curtain will rise on the MGM Theater of the Air. The year was 1943. That year, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer produced The Youngest Profession, a farcical tale of the teenagers, the autograph hounds, those adolescent sleuths who always get their names. This is the subject matter of our story, which embraces the misadventures of young Joan Lyons and her friends. And now, the MGM Theater of the Air presents Margaret O'Brien in person as Joan Lyons in The Youngest Profession. Our story of Joan Lyons, Patsy Drew, and their mixture of assorted friends and relations begins in the Grand Central Station of New York. Through this echoing concourse pass commuters, sightseers, and transient visitors from the cataract of towns, villages, and cities of these United States. The star train of the lot is the 20th century, coming in on track 39. What a young mob awaits the arrival of this streamlined special. Right up in front of the roped-in crowd, book and pencil in readiness, are Joan Lyons and Patsy Drew, or, if you please, President and Secretary of Guiding Stars Limited.
Are you sure, Joanie, sure?
Of course I'm sure. Track 39, the century. Sandra Lane always travels on the century.
So does everybody coming from Hollywood.
Excuse me.
That character's trying to get in front again.
She's going to snatch a button. We must protect Miss Dale.
Remember her with Cary Grant?
Yes, if you ask me, she has some nerve to tear a sleeve out of his overcoat.
Yeah? Well, for your information, I traded buttons on that sleeve for one of Barbara Sandwich cigarettes and a lipstick tissue positively used by Irene Dunn.
If you ask me, you're the type of individual who gives the autograph profession a black eye. Besides, the rule is first come, first served.
No, some people.
Joanie, there by the gate. MGM publicity man. Remember when Judy Garland was here?
Look, he's pointing, showing the red cap.
They're going to take us to another gate that way.
They did that with William Powell. Come on.
Joan, wait for me.
Hurry, come on.
Joan, help. Patsy, what now?
The button is suspended from my skirt. Help me.
Well, there. It seems by now you ought to know in our profession you've got to dress sensibly. Holy cow, Patsy, back there. Track 39, Sandra. There's Sandra. We'll get to see her first, Patsy.
Joanie, wait for me. Oh, God.
On account of a button on a skirt, we lose Sandra.
Oh, I'm so ashamed.
Don't you worry, Patsy. We'll find her. We'll phone all the hotels. MGM can't double-cross us. Have you got any money?
Certainly not.
We have to have some money for car fare. And we can't call on her without at least gardenias. Come on, we'll try my house.
Feather! Oh, Feather!
It's about time you came home.
You know Patsy.
Yes, I know Patsy.
Feather, out of all the people I might go to in my hour of need, I'm going to give you, a chance to save my life.
Have you spent your allowance already?
Oh, Feather, after all these years...
Why don't you ask your father? He's in the living room. He has a cold, which he certainly didn't catch around here. It is cold so bad.
Feather, wait.
He belongs in bed.
Oh, darn.
What's the matter?
She always makes him mad. I think that's pretty inconsiderate of her, right when we need to borrow money from him. We better get in there fast.
I have a cold, Feather, so I came home. Where, if you let us, my secretary and I hope to finish our work.
However did you manage to catch a cold in weather like this? Aren't you afraid of catching it, Miss Sale? I just got over one. So that's where you caught it.
What do I care whom I caught it from?
How could I know you wanted it kept secret? I'm very sorry. I didn't mean to pry.
How can anyone be that irritating?
It's because she's been a governess all her life. They always treat people like children.
Now, where was I?
Hello, Father. Hello, Miss Thayer.
Hello, hi, darling. Dear. How are you, Patsy?
Fine, Father. May Patsy use the telephone?
Why, of course.
Patsy, get the classifier and get the numbers of all the hotels.
All the hotels?
It's a matter of vital major importance. Go on, Patsy.
Yeah, all the hotels.
Read back, please, Miss Thayer.
Public policy demands, therefore, that the claims of the defendant...
Father, you know you look just like a movie lawyer. That gorgeous dressing gown, the fireplace, Miss Thayer. It brings out the William Powell in you.
Your apple polishing, Joan. What do you want this time?
Well, Father, I'm going to lay my cards on the table.
A very good place for them.
I need money desperately.
I'm not asking why. I'm leaving it to your honor. Important?
It's a practically vital major importance.
How much?
I could use five, but I'll take two.
You'll get two. Here, but I warn you, you've got to stop burning your allowance at both ends. Run along, Joanie, and tell your girlfriend she's getting too fat.
Patsy can't help it, Daddy. She diets, but the dieting makes her so hungry that she has to eat.
Bert, darling, I know you're feeling rotten, but why did you have to pick on Feather?
Why did I pick on her? Look at this man.
Well, Miss Thayer and I'll get it all out of your way.
Oh, yes, of course. Here, let me.
Feather tries so hard to be useful. Well, this is the way she used to fix croup tents for Joan. And for Junior, too.
I know. But I swear she irritates me on purpose.
Well, you should make allowances. After all, her age...
I shouldn't have to make allowances while I'm working. Junior, stop. You have to do that?
Uh-huh. I'm the phantom claw in the jungle.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I'm beating the jungle for Taurus, the man-eating tiger.
Taurus is a bull. Go beat the jungle in your own room.
Feather can hear it. She said you gave her a sick headache, and I should be the phantom in here.
Now, Bert. Junior, I think the street is a much better jungle. Now, off with you. Now, scoot.
Yahoo! I'm the phantom claw. Taurus, beware!
Edith, that feather woman goes. Junior's too old to have a governess, and she's too old to be a housekeeper. Out to the pasture with that niece of hers.
Oh, it would break her heart. Bert, I just couldn't.
We found her. I'm on my way to the most vitally important rendezvous of my life. Come on, Patsy, hurry. Don't just stand there.
Joan! Now, where can she be going that's so important?
I don't know. Let's just hope she's not getting married.
Oh, that clerk. We tried the same stunt with Walter Pigeon 2 weeks ago. If Miss Dale needs a stenographer, let's watch the elevator, Patsy.
Why don't we come back tomorrow? No school tomorrow.
Look, house phone's over there.
It's no use, Joan. Let's give up.
I should say not. Remember, Rome wasn't burnt in a day.
Miss Sandra Dale, please. Now, please, don't tell me she's out. I happen to know she's in. Who's calling? Well, just Luella Parsons, that's all. And if I were you, I wouldn't underestimate the power of the prayer.
Oh!
Stop that noise, Patsy. Well, I'll just wait in the lobby. And you can tell Miss Dale that Luella can get very impatient.
I'm terribly sorry, Miss Parsons. You're looking well, Miss Parsons.
Holy cow, Sandra Dale.
Of course, you've grown somewhat smaller.
I'm not really Miss Parsons.
Well, don't look so scared. I don't mind.
We're practically your slaves. You're not mad, are you?
On the contrary. I don't suppose you'd have time to come up for a cup of tea.
Tea?
And cake.
Cake? Miss Dale, this is the most magnificent moment of my life, so far. Miss Dale, our club, the Guiding Stars Limited, believes our duty is to keep the stars informed of the way their public feels, and vice versa. May I ask you one more personal question?
I'd love it.
Which do you prefer, the rugged outdoor man or the intellectual indoor man?
Well, I certainly don't like them indoors all the time. And if they're outdoors all the time, that's not very practical either. I guess I like a mixture.
Then you'd like Skylar.
Skylar?
Boy next door.
Oh, dear, this has been so pleasant. Now, that's Mr. Lind. We're going to a radio rehearsal together. Will you excuse me? Louise will show you out.
Of course, Miss Dale. And how can we ever thank you for signing our album?
How can we ever thank you?
You're perfectly welcome, and I hope we meet again.
Well, come on, Joan. What are you waiting for?
Elliot Lind, of course.
Elliot? Oh, but my mother will be waiting dinner.
What's more important, Elliot Lind or liver and onions?
But, Joanie.
Thank you, Louise. I know the way. Thank you. Well, and who are you?
I'm Miss Lyons. This is Miss Drew, my number one girlfriend. We're both very intimate.
Delighted.
We were just leaving. Had tea with Miss Dale, you know.
Oh, I see. Oh, may I help you? Your bag, Miss Lyons?
Oh, thank you.
It's rather heavy, isn't it? You wouldn't have an autograph album in there, would you?
I got one, too.
Well. And fountain pens. Permit me, ladies. You've got quite a collection here, Miss Lyons.
It's been my life's work. Mr. Lind, blood and tears are in that little volume.
There you are. And I'm very flattered to be included.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Well, I guess we've got to be going. Unless you'd like us to go to the radio rehearsal with you. They say it's helpful to have an audience, you know.
Thank you, but Miss Dale is allergic to audiences.
Patsy's allergic to dogs.
I am not. We're only long-haired ones.
But I want you to know, Mr. Lind, today has been a golden page in my book of experience. I will cherish your memories, you and Miss Dale, forever. Au revoir now.
Au revoir, ma petite. Your hand. Your hand. May I?
Me too?
Mais certainement.
Oh, I'll never wash this hand as long as I live.
Dinner.
Young lady, what's the meaning of this?
Where did you hear where I've been?
Now, dear, don't excite
yourself.
I
don't care where you've been. If you can't come home at the respectable hour, what in the name of creation is that?
Junior.
Don't you bother, Daddy. I'll make him turn it off.
Where?
Bathroom.
Bathroom? What do you mean, bathroom?
Well, he's rigged up an alarm bell in case any spies try to get into his laboratory.
Junior, stop that horrid noise this minute.
What'd you say?
Stop that bell.
But I can't.
Junior, stop that noise.
I can't.
Then I will. Let me at that gadget.
Probably shocked himself.
What radio program did you get this idea from?
It's a spy detector, like the Phantom Claws.
Any fit calmness, off it goes. This is my latest invention. Combination helmet and canteen.
Looks very much like my double boiler to me.
Wear it while you march, take it off and eat out of it. I've already communicated with the War Department.
I've no doubt the Secretary of War will drop everything else and take it up with the General Staff at once. Some men have children, play nice, everyday children. I've got to have a couple of geniuses.
But, Father, will you hear what I was doing?
I don't care what you were doing. Coming home at this hour. From today on, you come home immediately after school, and you don't stick your nose out of this house until the next morning. Go to bed. No supper. And I want to see you at my office tomorrow morning. You and I are going to have a heart-to-heart talk.
You will hear the further adventures of Joan Lyons and her companions in just a moment. Now, the curtain rises on Act Two of the MGM Theater of the Air presentation, The Youngest Profession, starring Margaret O'Brien. The following morning, at the office of Lyons, Sutton, and Cullen, the big hour approaches, the trial of the people versus Joan Lyons. The witness for the defense, it seems, will be Patricia Drew. Miss Drew gathers her dignity together as she licks the chocolate coating off the marshmallow crackers about to be consumed. The defendant herself, Joan Lyons, occupies the center of the stage. She is rehearsing her plea to judge and jury.
Father, I would not willingly have caused you pain. Thoughtless I may have been, wicked I deny. I await your sentence calmly, for it cannot be other than just, contributing as always to my ultimate welfare.
Oh, Joan, that's super.
It made me cry when Jane Withers said it and Four Loves his father.
We'll be late for our Saturday meeting if Feather doesn't come out of there soon.
Hello, Miss Thayer.
Hello, Joan. Patsy.
Hi.
Your father will be ready for you in just a moment. Well, Joan, you'd better keep your allowance hidden from me. It seems I'm not to be trusted with money.
Really, Feather? You mean you embezzled from the housekeeping?
Oh, no. No, Miss Featherstone, you misunderstand Mr. Lyons. He simply wants me to go over the accounts every week with you instead of every month.
Burton Lyons here?
Yes?
Package from Bronton Lingerie.
Oh, all right. I'll sign for it. There you are.
Thank you, miss.
Pardon me, Joan. Your father wants this package right away.
Wait, Miss Thayer. You dropped the bill.
Let me have that.
Feather.
Three chiffon nightgowns charged to Burton Lyons, delivered to office. Well, I'm off the... Joan, my dear, I'll see you at home. And don't be late. With your club coming, you should be there to welcome the girls.
Yes, Feather. Goodbye. Well, what's she so excited about?
All right, Joan. Come in.
Shut the door, Joan.
Father, I would not willingly cause you pain. Thoughtless I may have been. Wicked, I deny.
Never mind all that, Miss Garbo. Sit down.
Can I stand, Father? It makes it more man to man. Like the Hardy family.
You deliberately came home after dinner last night again. For that, no allowance for a month.
But, Daddy, I need money for the club paper. I'm broke.
Good. That will help bring home my point.
Why, you're not acting like Judge Hardy at all. When Mickey Rooney talks to his father, it never ends in anything so positively drastic.
Not another cent for a whole month. But a month isn't so long. Now run along and consider the error of your ways. I'm busy.
Father, I accept your sentence calmly, for it can be another than just, contributing as always to my ultimate welfare. Goodbye.
Well, I'll be the great horned owl.
Mr. Lyon, your wife just phoned to tell you that she's taken Junior to the doctor or the plumber.
What?
She was in such a hurry, I couldn't hear her very well. It was something about a combination helmet and canteen. Anyway, I think she said the double boiler was stuck on Junior's head.
Before the Committee on Sandra Dale makes its report, I should like to announce that I have received a new application for membership. Miss Vera Bailey.
Oh.
P.U. Order, order. We need cash for our newspaper to the Stars, don't we? Well, Vera has agreed to pay $5 initiation fee. Besides, Vera's father has a mimeograph machine. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Miss Vera Bailey, the new member, is waiting in the kitchen. Miss Patricia Drew, please open the door.
Okay, Vera.
Well, am I elected? Vera Bailey, you are now an official member of Guiding Stars Limited. As president, I must ask to see your album of autographs.
I haven't got one.
Disgraceful. You must secure an album at once and get at least 4 autographs a month to remain in the club.
Suppose I bought one already filled.
We'll pretend we did not hear that remark, Vera Bailey. Please be seated. Spotting committee, please report.
Polly saw Esther Williams when she left town at Pennsylvania Station. And Cyrus saw Toscanini.
Toscanini? Oh, politicians don't count.
Polly says he's a conductor, not a politician.
Well, we certainly don't want conductors. My glory.
Yes, Vera?
Is Robert Taylor anyone? Is Robert Taylor anyone?
Well, I've never seen him. But my uncle flew in from Los Angeles this morning, and he told my mother Robert Taylor was on the plane.
Holy catfish!
Where's he stopping?
How should I know? Didn't your uncle find out?
He didn't speak to him.
Your uncle must be a zombie. Come on, girls, telephone. Hello, Sherry Netherlands. Is Mr. Robert Taylor there? No. Thank you.
Your house is still busy, Mr. Lyon.
Impossible, Miss Thayer. It's been that way for 45 minutes.
Well, I've checked. They're still talking.
What time did that wire say I had to be in Washington 9, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, that means the congressional. How can I get home, pack, make that train all in 1 hour?
What's the name of the people who have the apartment across the hall from you?
James Byron. Why?
Well, I'll call them. Ask them to go over to your apartment and ask whoever's there to pack a bag. Then I'll pick it up and bring it to you at the station.
You're a genius.
And don't forget, your wedding anniversary is tomorrow.
I haven't forgotten. I'll give you a note for Edith, and you can pick up some flowers. I'll give her the nightgowns myself when I get back. Chiffon nightgowns after 16 years of marriage. Think she liked the idea, Miss Thayer?
Have you tried the Pierre?
Yes, and the Lambs Club, the Gotham, the Waldorf, the Savoy Plaza, the Plain Plaza. Let's see. We haven't tried the Chatham and the Marjorie.
Oh.
For heaven's sake, Patsy, what is it?
You better at the door, Joan. All right.
Look up the Chatham and try there, Vera.
All right, if you insist.
I can't understand.
There, look. At the door, he rang the bell just like that.
Holy cow. Robert Taylor. We got to get the girls.
Are you sure? You're sure Mr. Taylor isn't stopping with you?
Girls.
Well, for goodness sakes, Joan Lyons, you asked me to call.
Girls, he's at the door.
Who, for heaven's sake?
He is. Robert Taylor is. He rang the bell like anybody. Don't waste time. Come on, through here.
Now, girls, this is too much noise.
He's gone. The door's closed. Heather, what did you do with him?
Do with whom?
There, at the door.
That young man? He had a message from your father. We're to pack your father's bag for an overnight trip. That Miss Thayer is calling for it. Seems our telephone has been busy.
And you let him get away? You let Robert Taylor get away?
Such goings on, control yourselves. Just because some young man...
Some young man? Feather! That
was Robert Taylor.
You should learn to control yourself. Robert Taylor? The movie star? Oh!
Look at that! Feathers fainted!
Thank you so much for packing Mr. Lyon's bag, Miss Featherstone. Did you put in his blue silk pajamas and two white shirts?
I put in everything that's necessary.
And, I almost forgot. Joan, dear, you know it's your mother's wedding anniversary tomorrow. Tell her she must forgive your father for going away. He couldn't help himself. So he sent her these flowers.
I'll tell her.
Wasn't that sweet of him?
Yes. He's such a wonderful man. This letter will explain everything. Goodbye, Joan. Bye, Miss Featherstone.
Oh, my poor, poor baby. You'll have to know sooner or later. That woman is going away with your father. I knew it from the minute I found out he was buying her nightgowns. Chiffon, deliver to office.
I don't believe it. Not my father.
That brazen brat of him, trying to make a fool of my poor Miss Edith. And that lying letter. At least I can spare her these lies. She'll never, never see this.
Oh, Feather, what am I going to do? I just can't let this happen. Not to my daddy. I just can't let this happen.
What are you going to do?
Tell your mother and ruin her whole life, to say nothing of her anniversary.
Well, what are you going to do?
I need is some man of the world to give me advice.
How about Schuyler?
Really, Patsy, sometimes I think you're positively backward. Don't you dare breathe the word to Schuyler. This is a secret that will die with us.
All right. How about stopping for some ice cream?
How can I eat when I have so much on my mind?
If you had coffee ice cream, it would act as a stimulant.
I don't need a stimulant. What I need is a sort of combination of Spencer Tracy and Dr. Christian. Patsy, look. That cigarette ad.
Where?
In the drugstore window. Elliot Lynn, a man who has been around. Patsy, that's the answer to my prayer. So you see, Mr. Lynn, my friend doesn't know which way to turn. It would kill her if her parents were divorced. She's in terrible suffering.
Yes. But are you quite sure your friend isn't imagining a good deal of this?
If she only were. But she has circumstantial evidence.
Oh, I see. Now, just where do I fit in?
A man of your experience could get invaluable advice. What would you do?
Well, if I were the father, I think I'd kill the child. Miss Lyons, would you really like my advice?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Well, tell your friend to try and forget it. Don't interfere. If you start pushing around a triangle, husband, wife, and secretary, it's apt to turn into a quadrangle.
What's that?
It's a figure with four angles.
Another man. Mr. Lynn, you solved it. Another man for the wife to make the husband jealous. Mr. Lynn, are you busy tomorrow night?
Who, me?
No. No, I guess you wouldn't.
Miss Lyons, I'm leaving New York on the Century tomorrow evening. But if you dare go through with this idiotic idea, I'll come back and haunt you.
Oh, Mr. Lynn, you couldn't stay over just one night. There's going to be a Red Cross ball. My parents are going. My first grown-up party. Just one night, Mr. Lynn.
No, I couldn't. And you remember what I said.
I will, Mr. Lynn. And thanks for the wonderful idea.
Maybe William Powell would help if we could ever find him.
He's got to get a man to make Daddy jealous.
I know so few men.
What about your father? No, he's too old. Patsy, if I can't find some way of bringing my father and mother back together again, I'll join the Salvation Army and dedicate myself to humanity.
Joan, you wouldn't. You
you have to give up the guiding stars, and I'd never see you anymore except on street corners.
No, I couldn't go away. I'd have to stay with Mother. We'd be each other's consolation in our old age, when Junior's grown up and married and only sees us on Sunday. Patsy, come on.
Joan, look. Isn't he the most beautiful thing? He's as big as Johnny Weissmuller.
Maybe. Let's try, Patsy. Let's try.
Men, you want women to fall in love with you wherever you go? You bet you do. You want you should be strong like Tiger. You said it's for. You want you should have beautiful muscles. Beautiful muscles. Then listen to me. Young Hercules. Daily lectures on the body beautiful. You want you should have beautiful muscles so you make them jump, eh? Like this. Then, 10 cents. 10 cents for the body beautiful builder with full directions on the box. You want to buy the body beautiful builder, kids? It's good for reducing the figure, too.
No, thank you, Mr. Hercules. But, Mr. Hercules...
What you want, huh?
Mr. Hercules, what are you doing tomorrow night? Renting Mr. Hercules $10. One ticket for the Red Cross Ball, $5. Renting one full dress suit, $5. That's $20, Patsy.
We've got a $6.32.
That leaves $13.60 missing. I'd ask Skyler, except he hasn't any money.
I got $5 from him already.
Holy cow! You told Skyler after you swore?
I had to get the money.
Where did he get the $5?
He called a meeting of the Five Guys Club, and they voted to lend you their treasury. Well, after I explained the circumstances.
Patsy, how could you?
I made him swear if he told, he hoped to die and be eaten by rats. I even made Mom hold up her hand and spit 3 times.
Your mother, too?
She wormed it out of me.
I'm never going to tell you anything again, never.
I was only trying to help.
A big help you are.
I've got you $5.
At the cost of my mother's honor.
I think you're the most ungrateful ingrate I ever met.
I think you're a blabbermouth.
I don't care what you think.
Neither do I.
I'm going home.
Hooray, do. Patsy.
Johnny.
You're my best friend, and I almost lost you.
You're my best friend, too. Your nose is running.
It always does when I get emotional. We must never fight again, never.
I thought I'd die.
Yeah, before I'd be a girl.
You couldn't if you wanted to. Ha ha.
Junior, I'll bet he's got some money. He's been saving for months.
He wouldn't give it to you.
No, but we could borrow it from his piggy bank. After all, it's his mother and father, too. I'm doing it for him, too.
You got in the bathroom.
Come on.
There it is on the bureau.
Watch for him, Patsy. I got it. Ow! It's electric!
Put him up!
Junior, stop it! Put down that water pistol this instant!
Stop pushing me, you crook!
She is not a crook!
She is still.
You're a mean, heartless little brat.
Who says so?
I do. I'll fall.
Don't do that, Helen! Don't do that! Now look what you did. My best. It's in pieces.
And it's empty. Why, you little cheat, who wants your old bank anyway? Come on, Patsy.
We will go on with the story of Joan Lyons and the youngest profession in just a moment. Now, Act 3, in the MGM Theater of the Air, starring Margaret O'Brien in The Youngest Profession. Well, one empty piggy bank cannot pay the expenses of romance. not even manufactured romance. But when a young lady is determined to preserve the married life of her parents, there must be ways, there must be means. And if you are Joan Lyon, you'll never stop trying, and you'll have faithful Patsy to lean upon.
Never mind, Joan. Even if everyone lets you down and your home breaks up, you've still got Guiding Stars Limited and the best autograph album in the club and me.
My album. I could sell it.
Sell it?
You're as lazy. She'd buy an album instead of working for it.
But it's got your blood in it.
If I can fix things up between my folks, I'll give all my blood. You suppose they'd give me $15 for it?
He'll give you $25.
But we only need 15.
If you're going to sell your life's blood, you might as well make a profit.
But, Vera, think of all the trouble this will save you.
Well, I don't know.
Look, Vera, Jimmy Stewart, doesn't that give you goose pimples?
Is he so hard to get?
Hard? He's impossible. And here's Clark Gable. He's impossible, too. And look what Bette Davis wrote. And Sandra Dale. I feel as if I were selling my dearest friends into bondage.
$20.
$25. Okay. Oh, Vera, I can't sell it. I just can't.
Well, say, if you feel so awful about it, what are you selling it for?
That, Vera, is a secret which I shall take to my grave.
Goodbye. Well, now, that's the fifth person who's called up today. Joan, do I look as if I were going to fall apart before tonight?
You look wonderful, Mother.
Just as if nothing had happened at all.
Nothing has. Or has it?
16 years you've been a faithful wife to him. To think...
Oh, stop it, Feather. Just because he forgets one anniversary. Well, after all, he's got plenty on his mind these days. Well, now, either she's going crazy or I am. Just doesn't seem to make sense today.
Let's go shopping, Mother.
For what?
A new dress for tonight. Something snaky for your morale.
A snaky dress wouldn't help my morale. Well, besides, we've got to economize for the cost of living what it is.
You've got to wear something, Mama.
Well, I intend to. My black moire.
Have you tried wearing it off your shoulders, Mother?
No, why?
Mother, listen. If you look different, maybe Father will feel different. Have you ever tried wearing your hair up?
Years ago. I look just like an angry whisk broom.
Let's try it, Mother. Let's see. Why, it takes months off you. Months, Mother. There's a wonderful hairdresser at the Ritz. Let's go over there right now.
Why are you so all of a sudden bent on making Alana Turner out of me?
Why, it's my first grown-up party, and I just want you to be the most breathtaking woman there. That's all.
Oh, you're a queer and wonderful Doug. But it might not be such a bad idea. Bert could stand a bit of shaking up the way he's been. Well, I mean, it might be a very good idea, Joan. A very good idea indeed.
What in blazes have you done to yourself?
Done to myself?
That dress. Where did you get it?
It's my old black moire. The one you're so crazy about.
Well, then, you've grown out of it, or something.
I'm very sorry you don't like it.
I can't imagine anyone liking it, except a student of anatomy. Nor that bird's nest hairdo, either.
This happens to be the latest style, Bert.
Still don't like it.
Doggone this tie.
Just because you've had a bad day.
Looks like I'm going to have a bad night, too.
Hello, Pops. Hello. Ma, what are you made up for?
Junior, go to bed.
It's only 7 o'clock.
Run along, Junior. Mother isn't feeling well.
I feel fine. I never felt better in my life. And what's more, I'm going to prove it.
Dr. Hercules.
And,
what country I'm from, hmm?
It better be a Western democracy. People might get suspicious.
And if anybody asks questions...
Oh, Skyler.
You remember what you say.
Yes, yes, yes.
A stitch in time preserves the atom bomb.
Uh-huh.
Be prepared.
Yeah.
Semper fidelia. Semper paratus. E pluribus unum.
That's fine.
That's great.
Remember, Mr. Herbert, after I introduce you to my mother, you're not going to leave her side. Especially if my father's looking.
Oh, listen, miss. I'm no skunk. I do a job. I'll make your old man think twice. Never met a man yet wasn't jealous of me.
Indeed. Well, I'm not.
Wait till you see me work, son. Wait till you see me work.
Everybody persists in treating me as if I were a death door.
Maybe they're afraid you're going to catch cold in that outfit.
Oh, really, Bert? Enough is enough.
Well, here's Miss Thayer. Doc Sutton is around someplace. It's a sure thing. Those two are completely...
Oh, Mrs. Lyons. Mr. Lyons.
I'm so glad to see you.
Thank you.
You look charming, Miss Thayer.
Oh, thanks. Hey, you've changed your hairstyle, haven't you?
Yes.
Oh, it's lovely. And what a beautiful gown.
Hmm. Well, Bert.
Good grief. What's this with Joan?
Hi, Mama, Daddy. I want you to meet Dr. Hercules, the diplomat. My father, Mr. Lyons. And Miss Thayer.
A pleasure. Delighted. In fact, devastated.
How do you do, Dr. Hercules?
I beg your pardon, Doctor, but isn't that medal for sharpshooting?
Huh?
A stitch in time.
Oh, yes, yes, a stitch in time. Shh. The atom bomb.
How's that?
Dr. Hercules is on a very secret mission. Aren't you, Doctor?
Hmm? Oh, no, nothing else but.
What is your country, Doctor?
What's the matter? You want to drop that stitch?
I'm sorry.
Well, I think my husband is surprised at how well you speak our language.
Oh, I am told I speak like a native.
Of Brooklyn.
This your husband, eh? Ah, he's a lucky guy, madam. You're the best-looking mouse in the joint. Want to dance?
My wife doesn't care much for dancing.
She will with me. Let's borrow the frame, madam.
Oh, Bert. Oh, Bert.
Under what toadstool, Joan, did you find that?
He's a friend of Skyler's.
And where did you meet him, Skyler?
I'll tell you later, sir. Joan, let's go get some soda.
What the peculiar blazes is going on?
Don't ask me. I'd be afraid to set off the atom bomb.
Well, I'm afraid you're stuck with me. Care to dance?
Love to.
Say, you're a pretty buzz-along dancer.
Thank you, Doctor.
Yeah, you got a nice free action. I thought you were going to be a fat old mama.
What? I mean, who was talking about me?
Ah, just your kid. She was telling me something made me think you was a crumb.
Mm-hmm. I must speak to Joan.
Ah, she's a great kid. Say, you ain't sore, are you? I didn't mean nothing wrong.
On the contrary, I'm having a very nice time. Oh, here's my husband, Miss Thayer.
Oh, I could go on dancing with you from here in, Sugarfoot. I could sure swing a torch for you. Let's glide, Sugar. Let's glide.
I'll have a talk with Joan in the morning.
It's a gay blade, isn't it?
A lot of things may get a lot gayer any minute now.
Oh, they seem to have disappeared.
From the looks on the faces around here, either a lot of people have noticed it, too, or my slip is showing.
Having a good time, Daddy?
Great.
Just
great? I don't see your mother. I thought she was dancing.
She is, with Dr. Hercules, out on the patio.
Oh, she is, is she? Shall we join them in the patio, Miss Thayer?
Himself with jealousy.
Good. Let's get a soda.
No, I want to watch Daddy. Dr. Hercules is playing his part so beautifully. You find Patsy. I'm going out to the patio.
Dr.
Doctor, I must ask you to take me back to the dance floor this very minute.
Lady, I need room for waltzing.
But what will people think?
What your old man thinks is good for him.
Whatever do you mean?
Now, let's quit kidding, sister. You want your old man to quit making time with that tootsie of his? Well, don't you? Hey, look it. Here they come. Honey, you're my kind baby doll. You and I could make great music. What you say, baby, huh?
Let go. You're hurting me. Are you crazy?
Take your hands off my wife.
Saw, a dog in the manger. You don't want her and you don't want I should have her.
Are you a madman? Let go of her.
Bert, please, doctor. All these people, the children.
Don't you worry, sugar. This guy needs clothes off.
I've had enough, you big ape. Skyler, hold my coat.
Oh, yes, sir.
Daddy, don't, please. He'll kill you.
That's what you think. Come on, Hercules. Put him up.
Well, you asked for it. Hold this, sugar.
Mr. Lyons, I don't think you'd better...
Let go of me, Skyler. What are you trying to do? Help him?
Oh, stop him, somebody, please.
Skyler, do something.
Like playing with children.
Bert, are you hurt, darling?
No, I'm all right. Where is he?
You've had enough, Mr. Lyons. Really, you have.
Fight's over.
Oh, Bert, please take me home.
All right. Let me have that coat. Hey, this one isn't mine. Property of the Logan Costume Company. Dr. Hercules. I thought there was something fishy about you. Explain this label, you fake.
Okay, I ain't no diplomat. But I don't go around making hay with my secretary, neither.
You mean me?
But I'm engaged to Mr. Lyons' partner, Mr. Sutton.
You ought to be ashamed, Lyons, with a wife like her.
Will you stop this?
I'm sorry it had to come out in the open like this, baby, but it was the only way to make him jealous.
Oh.
Make me jealous? Is that what you were doing?
And I sure did it. When Hercules takes a job, Hercules delivers.
Who hired you for this?
Who do you think? Who suffers most when her old man starts breaking up his home for another woman? That poor, innocent little kid standing right... Hey, she was here a minute ago. Johnny, where did she get to?
Think, Patricia. Now think. We've tried the hotels, the police stations, the morgue, the movie theaters, and the hospital. You're our last chance. Now think, Patsy. Where could Joan have gone?
Patsy, did you and Joan ever plan to run away?
Oh, yes. Practically every week.
Patsy!
Oh, yes, Mrs. Lyons. It's true, Miss Thayer.
Where did you plan to go?
To Hollywood, of course.
Was that the only place?
No. Once after we saw Ronald Coleman in Inmates of Devil's Island, we thought of going there.
I give up.
Well, you're a fine one to give up. It's all your fault that she's gone.
My fault?
You hadn't forgotten our anniversary. Joan wouldn't have had such an absurd idea.
I didn't forget. Your presents locked up in the office. I explained that in the letter Miss Thayer brought here with the flowers.
What letter? What flowers?
I gave them to Miss Featherstone. You were at the doctor or the plumber with Junior.
Feather, come in here.
Oh, golly. Maybe Joan drowned herself.
Patsy, stop that.
Personally, I think, Mr. Lyons, you're going about this in the wrong way.
Oh, quiet, Skylar.
Now, if you'd let me question her...
All right. Anything. Go ahead.
Patricia, if Miss Featherstone had told you your father had fallen into the clutches of a woman like Miss Thayer...
What?
Feather said that?
Yes. She tore up the letter and threw away the flowers that Mr. Lyons sent you. She said they were lies and hypocrisy.
Good heavens.
Feather, step in here at once.
Oh, Bert, you are right. Feather is a menace.
Please, please, quiet, please. Patricia, if Miss Featherstone had told you these things, what would you do?
I'd give my life's blood to save them, just like Joan did.
Life's blood?
Sell my autograph album for money to hire Dr. Hercules. Only my album hasn't got as much life's blood in it as Joan's.
Joan did that for us? Oh, Bert, that poor baby.
You called me, Miss Edith?
And you're responsible, Feather. I want you to pack your clothes and get out of here in an hour.
Miss Edith, you don't know what you're saying. Turning me out into the night. Homeless, penniless.
You've got your niece's house, and I wish I had your money. You heard Mrs. Lyons, Feather. Out. Or else...
Don't hit me, don't!
Well, can I go on now?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Patricia, I... Wake up, Patricia.
Where am I? Oh.
Look, Patsy, if the Dr. Hercules plan didn't work out, then what did you plan to do?
I didn't plan to do anything.
Well, did Joan plan to do anything?
She said she was going to give herself to humanity. We were walking on Broadway just after we saw Mr. Lynn, and that's it! I'll bet that's what she's done.
What? What are you talking about?
I bet she's joined the Salvation Army.
Mr. Lyons, Mrs. Lyons.
Yes, that's right.
When headquarters received your call, they called us. We knew at once, of course. We don't have very many volunteers her age, and so insistent.
I'm not surprised about the insistent part.
Where is she? In there, asleep. Poor little thing, she was all worn out.
May we?
Oh, of course. Joan. Joanie, darling. Wake up.
Mommy, Daddy.
Hello, Joan.
You're together.
We never were apart, dear. Not for a minute.
Then Miss Thayer didn't come between you.
Oh, of course not, silly.
And I haven't ruined your lives.
You could have done that, Joan. Only if we hadn't found you.
Here's something for you, baby. Vera gave it with a struggle. But she gave it up.
Oh, Daddy, my album. My beautiful, beautiful album.
Don't cry, darling.
Oh, Daddy, isn't this just like a movie?
Margaret O'Brien will be back in just a moment. And now, Margaret, would you like to say a parting word to what has occasionally been called the listening audience?
Well, Mr. Yeats, they were very kind to listen.
Well, you realize, Margaret, they don't have to. They can tune you out when they please. But I don't think they will because your following is loyal and true. The public is faithful to the old-timers.
Thank you, Mr. Yates.
They've seen you in a lot of pictures. MGM pictures, if you'll pardon the expression. And they'll never forget The Lost Angel or Meet Me in St. Louis. And recently they saw you in The Secret Garden.
Oh, I'll never forget that story. It had so much mystery and excitement. And Herbert Marshall and Dean Stockwell, too.
Well, that combination definitely makes a film irresistible. But the most irresistible one is you, Margaret. So goodbye for a while and best wishes from us all.
You have been listening to The Youngest Profession, starring Margaret O'Brien, adapted for radio by Ira Marion. Original music composed and conducted by Joel Herron. The program was directed by Marks B. Loeb and produced by Raymond Katz. The supporting cast included Marissa O'Brien, Leon Janney, and Ted Osborne. Ed Stokes speaking.